This leads them very often towards authoritarianism, and we're now seeing that, of course, in the United States as well. And so I think it's hugely significant that the Brazilian courts stepped up, intervened, and have put Jair Bolsonaro behind bars. And what's really important is it's not just Jair Bolsonaro. Several of Brazil's top military generals have also been sentenced. And this is so historical. It was up until 1985, Brazil had a military dictatorship. And after that, there was a kind of an amnesty. Let's
30
not
seconds. Sorry. We have 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Just look, it's really important that when people break the rules, they're punished for it. And that someone like Jair Bolsonaro, who while he was president, oversaw the greatest destruction of the Amazon in any recent presidency. It's great that he's not above the law, that there isn't impunity, but there will be a fight back. You can be sure this is not over.
Jonathan Watt, I want to thank you for being with us, The Guardian's global environment writer, speaking to us from Belém, Brazil, where the UN COP took place. And Brandon Wu, director of policy and campaigns at ActionAid USA, just back from Belém. I'm Amy Goodman, also just back from Belém.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
You are listening to KBOO.
I'm Jude.
And I'm Jude.
We are part of the KBOO Youth Collective.
And on the fourth Wednesday of every month, our show, The Underground, airs.
Tune in on November 26th for our live presidential election,
where we determine which youth deserves to hold the crown of the underground.
Your vote matters.
And when you vote,
vote for Jude!
Wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, I thought...
Yeah, you were voting for me. I'm Jude.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from the Bureau of Labor and Industry's Child Care for Construction, a program dedicated to helping working families in the trades in partnership with Business Oregon. More info at oregon.gov/BOLI/apprenticeship under the link Financial Assistance for Registered Apprentices.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Today is Monday, the 24th of November in the year 2025. It is approximately 8.02 a.m. I am your host this morning. I am Cecil, and we will invite your calls if you would like a conversation or have something to share with us. Our air room phone number is 503 1-800-231-8187. And I hope all are relatively well this morning. I would like to hope that all who are able to rest this weekend, that you were able to rest. Those who were able to work, I hope you were productive in your work. And those who are caught in between labor and work, I hope you're able to find something that is meaningful. Today is Monday, and today is the 24th, and those of you who are here in the United States this weekend will culminate with the celebration of a civic holiday on Thursday, when many people will gather, and many people will gather with family and friends. I hope if those are some of your plans, that your plans go well, and that you have a good weekend and a good opportunity. Well, you know, and oftentimes the holiday is a mixed one for family and gatherings. You know, who will come to that dinner? Who will be welcome? And, sometimes you don't get along with family members, but sometimes you just have to put up with it because who knows what will happen. Well, I think for what happened in Washington, D.C. last week is symbolic of, you know, the uproar, the planning, the unsettling that people face when they prepare for Thanksgiving meal and people are preparing to come. So last week in Washington, D.C., we had the president and the Congress. The Congress actually went to work, after, 2 months or a long fall break. They actually came to work, and the president saw the writing on the wall, the Republican members in the Congress also, and so they voted to demand the Department of Justice release the Epstein files. Now, whether or not we'll ever see them or not, we'll see. Interesting enough, the president, who is someone who likes the camera, signed that bill away from the cameras. So we'll see what would happen. But as, you know, families experience and as people gather for holidays, you say, okay, I have to invite that person because, you know, they are family members. We don't get along. But, you know, I'll have my partner, my ride or die partner, and they'll be there and they'll be able to support me during the dinner. So we had the president invite the mayor-elect to New York and to the White House, and political pundits prior to the meeting were speculating about what would happen when the two men met, and will there be a clash of ideas, will they get along, will there be arguing? And to the surprise of many political pundits, when they came out of the meeting and met the selected press in the Oval Office, it seemed as if things went well. And so what we have, you know, someone said it was just a reflection of, you know, it was two men from Queens, two guys from Queens, and just meeting and chatting. I am also from Queens, so maybe I will chime in here. I'm certainly not surprised that they were able to talk with one another. They're both intelligent political animals, and they know what to do and what not to do. So they got along, and so people around the table saying, "Oh, okay, the president and the mayor-elect of New York got along. Whew, things are going to go well." And then we turned and looked around and see that in the middle of supper, the work wife of the president said that she wants a divorce and that she's leaving. And so we're all upset because the representative with Georgia, who had been such a diehard Trump supporter, said she was leaving the Congress. Wow. Okay. Well, what is that all about? Well, okay. So we look over to another place and say, well, who else is around the table? And then we see that Representative Maxine Dexter is also around the table and say, well, what will she do? What will she say? Well, it surprised me that she was one of 21 Democrats in Congress to co-sponsor the resolution by Representative Rashida Tlaib, House Resolution 876, which is recognized the genocide of the Palestinian people in Gaza. Wow. Now, I certainly did not see that coming. But let's hear what she said about why she supported this resolution, and then we'll have some further conversation. Okay.
Mr. Speaker, this past weekend, I visited the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum with my daughter. I had been before, but the timing of this visit was very intentional. I went to reflect on the horrific history of dehumanization and ethnic cleansing that ultimately led the world to create a new term to describe such an unfathomable evil. That word is genocide. During the Holocaust, 6 million Jewish people, 60% of those present in Europe, were brutally targeted, dehumanized, and systematically murdered. It is a crime that people, communities, and nations were aware of, and yet did little to nothing to stop the atrocities until it was far too late. After the Holocaust, the international community made a commitment that such evil can never happen again to any people anywhere. Never again, they said. That is why I recently signed on to a resolution recognizing Israel's actions in Gaza, led by the Netanyahu government, as a genocide. I joined this resolution with a heavy heart. I understand the pain and the history of the word, and I signed on with the utmost respect for the Jewish people, especially those in my community, who may feel abandoned or deeply harmed by my action. I will also be crystal clear that my criticizing the policies and actions of the Netanyahu government does not detract from my steadfast opposition to anti-Semitism and my persistent support for our Jewish neighbors. Many in this body have been reticent to clearly call out the mass suffering, the ethnic cleansing, the war crimes taking place in Gaza. I will not willingly continue to be part of that complicity. As a United States representative, my job is to stand up against the power and our resources of this country being used in such ways. I am a physician, a mother. I believe in the sanctity, the universal worth of human life. That belief does not change based on who you are or where you live. Each of our lives has innate, incalculable value. Our shared humanity must be recognized and preserved, or we run the risk of rationalizing, accepting acts of cruelty. This principle, that we share an accountability to stand up against dehumanization, cruelty, and marginalization across our communities, should be universal, but it is not. It is my duty as an elected leader in the most powerful country on earth to stand up for those most marginalized, if I stand for anything at all. It is foundational to how I chose to represent my community and how I will continue to represent my community in Congress. History has and will continue to judge this body, not just for what it did, but for what it failed to do. Our children are watching. As parents, we know this to be true. As elected leaders, we cannot look away as they look on. We have an implicit accountability to the children of this nation to show them with our actions that we hold ourselves to a standard worthy of their respect. I want my children to live in a country where our leaders can be relied upon to lead with courage, empathy, and moral clarity. And I urge every Oregonian watching to hold me accountable in a shared, unshakable belief in the sanctity of human life. We are our brother's keeper. I will do all I can to protect and defend each person's right to freedom, safety, and self-determination.
That was Representative Maxine Dexter of the 3rd Congressional District of Oregon, speaking why she supported the resolution recognizing the genocide of the Palestinian people in Gaza. What I've found surprising, and maybe others also, which one record, I was surprised that she made the statement and that she is a co-sponsor of the resolution, and recognized that she has received a lot of pushback from many people who are angered and hurt by her position. But also I was surprised because she, during her campaign in 2024, received significant financial support from the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, and the APAC Affiliated Political Action Committee. The United Democracy Project donated $1 million to the 314 Action Fund, which spent over $2.2 million supporting Dexter's campaign. Additionally, the United Democracy Project contributed $1.3 million to Voters for Responsive Government, a PAC that spent more than $3.2 million on attack ads against Dexter's primary opponent. So I was significant. But, you know, I was surprised that she made that statement and that she was one of 21 Democrats to co-sponsor this resolution. So that was a surprise at my Thanksgiving dinner. And one more surprise. So, okay, she's there and she made this position. What else is happening? Well, I mentioned how Mamdani and Trump met in the White House and the, you know, the Congress who suddenly found their way back to Washington to go to work. They thought it was so important that on the day that they, the mayor-elect and the president were meeting to vote on a resolution to denounce the horrors of socialism. And, well, you know, the mighty Democrats, 86 of them, including the minority leader Hakeem Jeffries, who just managed to endorse Mamdani two minutes before the November elections. He also voted for this resolution denouncing the horrors of socialism. It was supposed to be an attack, I think, on Mayor-elect Mamdani, and also related to, you know, I thought the Republicans would make Mr. Mamdani the poster boy of the Democrats and continue to talk about what a terrible person and he's a Marxist and all of that. And also the president sort of like slapped the potential Republican candidate in New York who has been making it, you know, she's been playing by the rules and calling the mayor-elect all sorts of names. I think she called him a jihadist, and the reporter asked the president if he thought that the man he was standing next to was a jihadist, and the president said no. He's a very rational, intelligent man. So sort of like, okay, Representative Slotnick, I know you've been for me all the time, and I wanted you as my UN ambassador, but I had to pull back because we needed you in the Congress. And all these people working for Trump, and he denounced them. So those are some of the thoughts that are on my plate this morning. Do you have reflection on the Modani-Trump meeting? What was that all about? And also the breakup between the president and one of his strongest supporters, Marjorie Taylor Greene, her resignation from the from Congress come January, and Representative Dexter and her sponsorship of the co-sponsor of the resolution 876 recognizing the genocide of the Palestinian people in Gaza. Those are some of my thoughts and some of the things that I have on my plate, wondering how people are feeling about that and what people are doing. And then one additional is I mentioned all of these as a sort of a Thanksgiving dinner, and you get together and with people you like and people you don't get along with, and that's what happened in Washington, D.C. Let's bring it down. How do you, this is as we approach this holiday season, how do you negotiate and manage the potential landmines to avoid when your family and or friends gather? And there is a mixture of opinions and viewpoints. When you gather for your holiday gathering, is it a time of joy? Do you avoid that other person who just gets on your nerve? How do you negotiate those things? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And I invite you to share your thoughts on these topics. I want to read a little bit of one of these resolutions, the resolution denouncing the horrors of socialism. And it begins, you know, whereas socialist ideology necessitates a concentration of power that time and time again collapsed into communist regimes, totalitarian rule, and brutal dictatorship. Whereas socialism has repeatedly led to famine and mass murder and the killing of over 100 million people worldwide, whereas, and then a list of people, Vladimir Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Castro, Pol Pot, Kim Jong-un, Daniel Ortega. It's interesting. You notice Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-un. Daniel Ortega, you know, they are, you know, North Korea is the president's good friend, but okay. Daniel Ortega, Hugo Chavez, Nicolas Maduro, goes on, talk about the Bolshevik Revolution, go on, North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela, and they also tosses in Thomas Jefferson, which certainly wrote before Marx, but that's okay. Quote, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and says, whereas the United States was founded on the belief of the sanctity of the individual to which the collectivistic system of socialism in all of its form to fundamentally and necessarily oppose. Now, therefore, be it resolved. The Congress denounces socialism in all of its forms and opposes the implementation of socialist policies in the United States. So that was the resolution. Congress opposes socialism in all of its form and opposes the implementation of socialist policies in the United States. Passed by the House of Representatives November 21st, 2025. And I'm sure this was passed to, you know, they were going along with the playbook and they were going to denounce the mayor-elect of New York, and the president sort of accepted, did not accept that theory. So things were tossed aside. We'll read more about those things and share a little bit more. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we have a caller who would like to talk about maybe socialism. Mr. Santiago, how are you this morning?
Doing all right. How about you, Cecil?
I'm doing all right. I just want to, before I let you go, that I also want to announce that some of the brave representatives who voted for the resolution denouncing socialism was the Congresswoman Salinas in the first district, I believe, and Representative Bynum did not vote for it. He voted present. So, okay, what's on? What do you have to share today?
Well, you know, the meeting with Trump and Mamdani was interesting, to say the least. I don't think there's any harm in necessarily meeting him, but I think it's interesting that, Trump really backed off of what he was talking about. I mean, it doesn't really mean he's going to follow through with any of the stuff he did, but it was really interesting in how he basically disarmed Kathy Hochul's entire campaign by like sitting there and glazing Mamdani. But at the same time, you know, the Democrats were, you know, trying to, they're calling it the charm offensive. The fact of the matter is that, like, as progressive as Mamdani is, you got to remember that in the context of the Democratic Party, they want no significant changes to be made. Talking about how the Democratic, you know, when you're talking about political parties, it's recognizing that that essentially, you know, the political party exists for the purpose of securing benefits from the means of production for a particular group. And when you strip away the facade of both Republicans and Democrats, they essentially serve the same purpose. They might, some of them might, you know, the Democrats might do it in a nicer way, in a mm-hmm. way that seems less offensive than Republicans. But ultimately, at the end of the day, that's the one thing that has to be watched out for.
Certainly. I think you're right on in terms of the Democratic establishment. Yeah,
because I mean, they did not want to have Mamdani as a part of it, and they really got him to walk back a lot of his stances, which is super disappointing. But it's part of playing the game. If you're gonna mess with Democrats, that's how they work. But I think it's more important to remember that when it comes to, you know, the capitalists, people who cape for capitalism, they don't recognize how many people were killed in the people who were put through famine mm-hmm. and all that. You know, and it's not to, you know, because obviously, you know, the socialist experiments, the socialist experiments of the 19th century were definitely, or the 20th century, I guess you could say, you know, they had their flaws, but at the end of the day, they were, you know, people will say that, you know, that they'll talk about, oh, you know, it was so bad, it was so horrible. But, you know, people forget like what was there before. And they forget that, you know, that the U.S. and NATO invested untold millions and billions of dollars in trying to destroy in order to destroy what they labeled regimes without giving a second thought to like what they represented. You know, people, they talk about bringing, progressives and Democrats will talk about bringing democracy to Iran when they forget that it was the West, you know, particularly Britain, but also the United States who democratically elected leaders because of the fact that they wanted to nationalize the oil and remove Western influence.
Certainly.
So they could take control of their own economy. You know, it's and then on top of that, like, you know, they want to talk about like all the deaths and stuff that happened as a part of like socialism, but that all comes from the Black Book of Socialism, where they count Nazi deaths as victims of socialism. So I mean, those are you know, if those are victims of socialism, then bring them on. But I mean, fact of the matter is that, you know, the West has made up numbers in order to inflate, you know, what happened in countries that transitioned to socialism from, you know, feudalism or capitalism.
I get your point, and there's another call behind you that we need to get to, so I want you to come to a conclusion so we can make sure we hear what you have to say.
Well, the conclusion is that whether you like it or not, America and many other countries that are under capitalism have essentially run their course, because capitalism has no other desire except to strip people of their rights and their and their liberties for the pursuit of the last penny. And if we want to say, if we want, you know, it's like Rosa Luxemburg said, you know, over 100 years ago, it's socialism or barbarism. And now we're looking at it's socialism or, you know, or extinction. So we need to make that choice.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And one thing that I noticed that Mr. Mamdani goes back to, it's not being very theoretical, so you have the argument, you know, the theories of socialism, and what I noticed that he's calling for, it's something that is standard in our neighbors to the north and in European countries, more social democracy. So, but we'll see what will happen when he becomes mayor. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Let's go to our next caller. I believe is Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Cecil Prescott, good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is the week that we, in the secular world, celebrate what we call Thanksgiving. It was obviously a holiday that was invented and ratified by the 16th president. But in this particular week, I think it's important that we do the very thing that we say we want to do, which is to give thanks. And I want to humbly express publicly my gratitude to you, Cecil, for your hard work over these many years, for the betterment of the people. You have worked diligently and done your level best to do what is right for the good of everyone. You have offered comfort to each and every individual that has had the opportunity to listen to you. I think that you deserve all our thanks, and from me personally, thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Jeff, and let's continue to be thankful for all the things and we have. Thank you.
I hope that all of us can enjoy, every one of us can enjoy a filling meal on Thursday, and possibly even enjoy an exciting game before the day is over. But we all should be more grateful than we have up to now indicated. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil. We began our program this morning by just mentioning about the symbolic Thanksgiving gathering that was in Washington, D.C., and all the messy things that happened, and trying to see, you know, what did that all mean? And also, as Jeff reminded us, things that we are thankful for. So if you have something to share, give us a call, 503-231-8187. And let's go to our next caller, Isaac. Good morning, Isaac.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. So on the topic of socialism and this new bill, all I really see it is as political theater.
Yes.
Like you said, you know, they brought Mondani in. I think they were expecting this huge, you know, this kind of like a similar situation with what happened with Zelensky. And unfortunately, his tongue is a bit too sharp and he's a bit too smart for that to happen, I think, to him. But, you know, let's talk about socialism. The United States has basically practiced some form of socialism since at least the 1940s. 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
We say that we're capitalists, but we really aren't a true capitalist country, and you know, but then at the same time, we don't actually practice proper capitalism either when it comes to like the government's role in capitalism, which is to help maintain and regulate monopolies and businesses that are growing out of control.
Yes.
So I think it's just really a distraction from Epstein files, a distraction from things like, you know, Fox News, for example, coming out with a poll showing that 76% of Americans are not happy with the economy and the way that Trump's handling the economy.
Yes.
Which that came out on the 19th of November. that's worse than Biden's approval ratings on Fox News before the end of his term, which really should speak loud to a lot of people. You know, I think that I said something to somebody about we're not really kind of like the way China isn't true communist either. They're communist with capitalist methods.
Right.
We've kind of been the same thing. And somebody said, well, you know, China keeps their billionaires in check and we don't.
No.
We got to stop saying yes or no. It's one way or the other. We got to start redefining what we want to be as a country. And yes, we need some level, you know, the United States isn't going to function without its current system. We can only change it so quickly.
Right.
But we have to be able to say, hey, we're going to regulate certain things. We're going to take into consideration that if the entire people as a whole are struggling, then the entire country as a whole struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And so one example of that that I like to tell people, just to kind of give them an idea of how significant the wealth gap has become, is in 1970, the average CEO made 30 times as much as his lowest paid employee.
Right.
And so that came out to like something like, you know, maybe you're making $500,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And and that's if they're getting paid minimum wage. Today, 2024 was, I believe, when the statistic was based off of, the average CEO is making 281 times their lowest paid employee, which comes out to basically like $4.5 million. If the lowest employee is making minimum wage. So we have these, basically, you know, we have these massive corporations that haven't been properly regulated by our government, and they aren't paying their employees a livable wage. And to help offset that, we're giving them all our taxes and SNAP and welfare. You know, when you look at the average person on SNAP, or something like 70% of Americans are on SNAP and working full time, that really should just speak volumes to the fact that we have a system where it's just not working, and we're using a welfare system to continue to perpetuate the success of these major corporations, because they're American corporations. But, you know, to be honest, I don't think we want them to be here if they can't pay their employees a livable wage. I'd rather we have more small businesses.
Yes.
And that, you know, and we have more regulation. You know, I don't think it's that unreasonable to say, hey, a CEO shouldn't make more than 40 times his lowest paid employee. And you can still be a multimillionaire as a CEO. You know, so we have to find that middle ground, because we can't be completely communist, but we haven't been completely capitalist for years.
Excellent point. Yes.
So there's, everybody hates the term communist and loves the term capitalism in the United States, but, you know, let's face it, we have to actually regulate our businesses if we want to say that we're going to be a successful capitalist country, and we haven't for years.
No, we haven't. I thank you for your observations, and I think it's quite accurate in terms of looking at how we have changed over the years in terms of things like our tax rates, and your observations about the United States not being a pure capitalist country, and that we have experimented with various means of socialism. And thank you for your perspectives and for your wise observations. Thank you, Isaac. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. We've heard from Isaac. We heard from Jeff. We heard from Santiago. We haven't heard yet from you, but let's hear from Janet. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. You sure got some good dialogue going on. I think that I try to be careful to read between the lines and to kind of pick an angle, not to be in some kind of rose-colored glasses. But the fact that Madami wanted to stand by the portrait of FDR, I thought that was pretty good. That's kind of a few little hopeful things.
Yes.
And that want me to be thinking that he's not going to be a sellout, although he does come from lots of money. And it seems to me like we've got the oligarchy is the big problem, and they're waging war on altruism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's really hard to really be so like securely in one way that we got to give a little slack. And I love your idea about Thanksgiving, because for myself, I made a friend 13 years older than me who saw her parents go off to Auschwitz, and she was a survivor, and she said that here in America that we've got survivor's guilt, that we kind of got up out of it. And for me, I feel a little bit of that, not to feel guilty that I have a wonderful, healthy environment, and
yes,
then some two healthy great-grandsons, like but then as far as going around the table with people who we don't agree with, to some extent, I had to do a bit of being subversive when I was working in the school situation, that I didn't act like the scripted way that they think you're supposed to get all the kids to say uncle and toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
And what I came across this weekend, I thought was really good for me, that Carl Jung's idea about the huge consciousness of all of us.
Yes.
Better if we look inside of ourselves and recognize the evil and the imperfection in all of us, and then it helps us to give a little slack to others who are still kind of works in process, because we're all like, you know, there's no perfection in society. I
right.
think we really need to uphold altruism though, and then I think it's not all the different things that we want Modami to be this, that, and everything else, but maybe the push that we can give to push him in a direction that's got a little glimmer of an opening of some really important things that we need to kind of give him a push, so he doesn't have to feel like he's going to be on some crucifix all by himself standing up, that he's got a pretty huge backing with all these wonderful people like the Colin, and then you've got Open Air to recognize that openness is the great root of humanity, that we can open our mouths and talk different things and even have a little controversy. And sorry, I brought up that thing last week about the debate between Buber and Muhammad Gandhi, but I think it's really important to be seeing what did Muhammad Gandhi really do. It was huge, the salt march and all that.
Right.
And we're looking at possible changing of times, which I think sometimes it's going to get really, really, really dark, and then, wow, we can really bust through things, have a breakthrough. So thanks for making this open air.
Thank you for your call and for what you shared about Thanksgiving and about uplifting altruism. I appreciate that. And reminded me, I need to go back and study what you brought up last week about Gandhi and Buber. So thank you. You have a great week. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil. And our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and you will be on the air right after our next guest, who is Tangent. Good morning, Tangent.
Hey, Brother Cecil. As far as Jeff's call, here.
Ah.
I'm going to spell the last here, H-E-A-R. Hats off, Cecil. As far as the Mondavi-Trump meeting, so basically Trump's rhetoric lost, so he joins the winner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He just switches sides. But he didn't, he hasn't really. Okay, so now into this, did that resolution pass? I didn't hear that part.
Which resolution? The one on
socialism? Oh, about we cannot have socialism here.
We
can't have schools or freeways.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so now it said collapse into tyranny, basically, communist something.
Mm-hmm.
So these are socialist countries or democratic socialist countries. So France, has it collapsed?
Mm-hmm.
It might collapse into pure capitalism. I don't know the way things are going there. Canada, Germany, you know, they have social medicine, right?
Yes.
And so many. So, yeah, there's that. Now, I wanted to get to, somebody else was talking about the corporate welfare. I want to bring up my term, wealthy fare.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I'm moving along, I take notes now.
Okay, that's helpful. Great. We could check them out.
I noticed you take notes, which is really, we all appreciate that, responding to actually what we said later. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then, so now, and I don't like this T-Day thing.
Okay.
T-Day, Turkey Day. You know, when people say that, it's not Thanks Day, right? That's what it is, okay, but... No, mashed potato day, you know, come on. It's like a lot more than the food.
What is it?
I'm moving too fast. We're there for more than the food, okay? In fact,
okay.
I had to stop going to Thanksgiving because it wasn't, you know, never mind. I think I mentioned it before, but anyhow.
Okay.
So, and then Janet mentioned that, I think she said we're all works in process, but the term actually is works in progress. And we're works of art, basically. That's what that's referring to. Or, you know, we're like a book could be a work in progress, yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
Real quick, because I think she also touched on Christianity or religion a little bit. I didn't hear exactly. This would be quick. I just read something, and I always question this idea of virgin birth. So here's the thing. The guy pointed out that in Matthew, they make a big thing about very beginning, all about the line going back to David. Yes, everyone in between. How okay, that was passing.
Okay, I'm. I do. You. I think you're off topic right now.
I am, but simply if they didn't have sex, that DNA could not be passed into Jesus.
Okay. Well, that's another subject.
Question
but
to miss.
But thank question. You so much, Tangent, and I hope you have
question.
A thank you, Tangent, and I appreciate your for calling and for your witticism and your ability to come up with witty phrases. Let's hear what Sharon has to say. Good morning, Sharon. Thank you for waiting.
Sure. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the resolution, which to me seems horrible that we did that. So there's so many things going on right now. And Congress took time to do that. Socialism has always had it's been villainized here in this country. I don't know why. Some of our greatest accomplishments as a country where we really taken care of each other have been,
yes,
might be thought of as socialist, you know, all of the New Deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. But if people are worried that socialism will turn to a totalitarian society, well, obviously capitalism did, because that's what, you know, we are where we are politically now.
Right now, yes, hello.
Yeah, I mean, if we are talking about fascism and totalitarianism and all this stuff right now with the current administration, well, here we are. And but it's a very unbalanced economy, which we've talked about. Some of the people calling in have mentioned how extremely unbalanced it is right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
I'm not an economist, but so I can't talk about, you know, the details of socialism versus, you know, capitalism, all that stuff. But I do know that whatever philosophy somebody has about economy, which is not government, but economy, it's totally imbalanced now. Like, it's so horribly imbalanced. And that does lead, we've seen historically, that does lead to terrible regimes, terrible governments. So it's to me, it's not, it's the imbalance. It's the extreme imbalance.
Yes.
So anyway, I just wanted to say, if they're worried about socialism causing totalitarianism, well, guess what? We've seen capitalism do that. We've seen that happen right now.
Exactly.
So it's I'm really disappointed at Congress doing this.
Well, yeah, I'm disappointed, and you know, it was for show, and the fact that 86 Democrats also voted for it, including the House Minority Leader and a representative from Oregon. It said to me, at least, I don't know why they voted for it. Maybe they say it's not important. We don't want to be primary, or
so many other things happening at this moment like that, really? Seriously? I mean,
yeah.
It's shocking, and it's very disappointing.
Well, you know, after, you know, being on a paid vacation for several weeks, you know, that they would come back to Congress and see that's right. Most important is, you know.
Right. It's just incredibly disappointing. My representative is fine, and I am disappointed that she didn't take a vote or just was present, like didn't take a stand. I mean, I...
Well, it might be, you know, it might be helpful to ask her why she did not take a stand.
Call her office when we're done.
I think that I would like to hear that response because, why that as opposed to, I thought, well, I don't know. I haven't spoken to.
You know, I don't either. She might have been just as shocked as I am. Like, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
Okay, well, call her, and if you find out, call us back and
I will call back. I will call you back next week. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And
Sharon.
I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. There is, as always, a lot to be grateful for. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sharon. And, two points. One that Sharon made, we had a brief discussion just now about the vote on socialism, and we can think about others as well. But if you're curious or disagree or agree, contact your congressional representative. So I, hadn't occurred to me why Representative Bynum would vote present rather than nay or yay on the resolution on socialism. So I don't want to assume anything. So Sharon suggested that she'll call her, and hopefully we'll hear back from Sharon too. We'll hear back from the representative's office, and we'll have an understanding of that. At the same time, you might want to, if you're in Representative Salinas' district, or any, Representative Bentz or Dexter, who am I missing? Banamichi, yes. Call them and be in conversations with them. And thank you, Ray, for just catching that for me. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And on this week in which we celebrate Thanksgiving, a couple of people have called and offered things that they are thankful for. We had a discussion about what's going on in Washington, D.C., the press conference that the president and the mayor-elect of New York had in the Oval Office, and how people feel about that. We also talked, I mentioned Representative Dexter's co-sponsorship of a resolution on Palestine. And for me, at least, that was a principled stand, and the fact that she took that stand in spite of receiving a lot of money from PACs who are not satisfied with her taking that stand. If you agree with her, call her and commend her. If you disagree with her, and I don't know Representative Dexter at all, but from that speech she gave on the floor of the House, I sense that it was a position she took after much thought and reflection, and it was not an easy one. So whether you agree or disagree with her, let your congressional representative know how you feel. I think it's important. And as I'm trying to pull up my list of the caller who mentioned earlier, maybe with Sharon, our last caller, talking about the responding to the resolution on socialism. And recognizing that we are living at a time where many people are in pain and are suffering. So whether it is the ICE raids in our community, whether it is the struggle people have to pay their grocery bills, whether it is the search for housing, whether it's the search for employment. Maybe one thing that the meeting in the White House of the mayor-elect and the president said to me was that the focus on where people are at, and I've seen the mayor-elect on often in many interviews, and he always come back to the main issue of affordability, of people's real existential pain. And maybe that's why we'll see what happens with the president and New York, and you know. But the point is that I think it's important to not be distracted by all the noise, but to remain focused on that which is important. And so that's a lesson I think I got from one lesson I got from the press conference that the president and the mayor-elect had, mayor-elect of New York had last Friday. If we who are concerned about issues remain focused, continue to work on those issues which are important, whether or not you know pick up that phone and text or call, go and check on your neighbor. It was Janet who shared we need to uplift altruism. Your neighbor who is staying home because they are afraid that if they leave their house that ICE will pick them up. Check up on them. Find out how you might be able to support your neighbor. I am amazed at how the varied ways people are taking action for their community, whether it is elders who weekly stand on a corner, some in with walking devices, some in wheelchairs, but making a stand that this is important. I honor that. Whether it is young people who march out of their schools and defend their neighbors and friends against this authoritarian regime, we commend that. There are so many things we can do. And as we approach the holiday season, what are ways we can, as Janet reminded us, can get along? We are all works in progress, as she observed in Tangent Recall. We are all works in progress, and there's so much we have to do. So this holiday season, however, wherever you celebrate or recognize, whether you want to oppose by participating in not buying, there's a boycott that will happening this week and continuing to not buy from certain markets. I think some of the targets are certainly Amazon and Home Depot, because it seems as let Home Depot permit or allow some of these masked federal agents to reside in their parking lots, and also Target and I believe Walmart also. But you can check out what are those particular businesses that people are targeting to let their voices know that we are living in a world where too many people are not free, that too many people are unable to live safely, that too many people are unable to find affordable housing or able to meet their medical or grocery bills. There are things that we can do, and there are things that you are doing. So continue to be faithful, continue to support one another, and whether you are, wherever you are living, you are important. This week and all the days coming up, remember to take care of one another, build community, and seek for a better and more joyful, more peaceful community. I'm Cecil. Thank you so much for listening. Continue to support KBOO, and I will speak with you next time.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO, Portland, no compromise in defense of the truth. Ooh,